This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's February 11th, episode 1102, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being here. I just want to warn everyone that I have a fasting blood test to take after the show today. And that means that I'm grouchy and haven't had my... I always have iced tea in the morning, and I haven't had my iced tea, and I haven't had any food. And you know what it's like when a guy doesn't have food at 9 o'clock in the morning. So, just saying.
Well, you know what? The good news is we only got you for an hour and a half. Jennifer has to live with you. So, you know what? Sorry, Jen. Sorry
well,
about that.
We are excited about later today, though, after I get to eat. After I go to the doctor, I can eat again. And it is the fact that we're going to the Gala of Royal Horses tonight in Ocala. Now, I don't know anything about this show, but apparently some of our listeners have gone and they posted on Facebook that they enjoyed it. So what concerns me a little bit is it's in a pretty small livestock pavilion that holds like rodeos and stuff. So I don't know what it's going to be like. I'll give you a report on Friday. It's supposed to have Lipizzans and, all the usual cast of characters that you see at these kind of shows. So we'll let you know how good it is. This is the same one that toured Europe for a while, I guess. So
it's got to be good. If the Europeans liked it and they liked it enough to keep it going, then it must be good. I think you're going to be wild. I watched some of the videos online, and it looks awesome. And, by the way, they look like mostly Andalusians, so get it right.
Well, there you go. There were some Lipizzaners. I saw some white ones in there, so just saying. And apparently some Arabs and Frisians. Apparently you can't do anything in the world without a Frisian involved now. You can't have a TV show, you can't have a movie, you can't have a show of any kind without a Frisian involved. And I have nothing against Frisians, I'm just saying. I think they're very pretty, but they certainly are taking over the show world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, taking over the show world, I haven't seen them in the hunter or eventing ring yet, but it could happen. They're doing everything.
Do they jump? No, do they jump?
I mean, everything can jump if something's in its way, right? how anything can go around beginner novice. So you might see if I had my black Andalusian stallion that I'm going to own someday, he's definitely going to kick around a novice course.
There you go.
Whether or not we ever make training, I don't know. Someday.
And Elise is still waiting for you to get your Mustang. Speaking of which. I did this while we're talking about it. We have a little time here. Carson City, Nevada, baby. You need to make a trip. They have a cup. Now, listen to this now. You know, the Bureau of Land and Management has its first of four annual saddle-trained horse adoption events on February 21st at the Northern Nevada Correctional Center. So these babies are Elisa started. You wouldn't even have to do the Elisa thing. They got a saddle on these. Now, I don't know how good the prisoners are at it, but, you know, at least it's something, right? So you got to show up. It's an auction, and the beginning bid on all horses is $150.
Yeah, you got to post that link because I'd love to look at the ones that. Because do they have the pictures posted of the ones that are going to be for sale?
I have it right there in the show notes at the bottom. So, yeah, we'll post the link on Facebook. I don't know if they have a picture. I didn't see any pictures.
Yeah, sometimes they do hard to find.
Yeah.
Well, they'll post them, too, when it gets closer. But I love that idea. The fact that inmates train these Mustangs, I 100% support that. And they go for so little money. And they've already been started and already been handled and already been ridden. And I do like that. I know Elisa likes to start her own. But, again, like I've said, not everybody in the world is 100% confident in taking a wild Mustang and starting it. So I think this is a great option for people. And I can't tell her that because she'll yell at me, but this is actually a really good idea, in my opinion.
She's one of the few people that will call you on the carpet all the time.
She kind of scares me. She kind of scares me.
She's a tough
But she's
woman.
Cool. Like, I really cool. like her, but I'm really glad she lives on the other side of the country because I think she would scare me on a daily basis, but that's okay.
I think if she lived near you, she would go pick one up and bring it over to your house and say, here it is. Have
yeah,
fun.
No, she totally would. And that would be fine. You know what? I've realized, though, with selling Jet, I'm down to one horse. And I haven't just had one horse in, I don't remember
no,
how long.
Minute.
I've
don't
always
you
had
have
two.
The, doesn't Chad, oh, because that's Chad's horse. Oh, I got it.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, but the Duke is Chad's horse. I did trail ride him last night. He's going to get a lot more of me. But, as a competition horse, as a bringing a horse along, I usually have one that I compete and one that I ride when that one breaks. So I need my one that I ride when the other one breaks. So I think I need to get one. Maybe next adoption. Gosh, I don't have any more stalls. Let's stop talking about this.
All right. Well, you have neighbors' yards. I mean, you haven't asked them yet, have you? I mean, that's what horse people usually do.
Littlefoot. Oh, there's a Littlefoot. Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at all the pictures. This is a really bad idea. I like Goose.
They have some neat colors. They have some neat colors, one thing. I like some of the coloring. It's different. Well, we are going to have a show today. Even if I'm grumpy, we're going to have a show, and Jennifer's going to tell us what's on it.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, once we have consumed a healthy dose of morning sarcasm, we'll get charged up with a chat about carbohydrates on the Horse Health Report with Dr. Tanya Cubitt, and our aperitif selection is from Horse and Country TV. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily winning time. Well, happy birthday today to our friend Patty Reeves of Reeves Racing. We haven't talked to them in a while. We need to get them on the show again soon. It's been a long time since we talked to the Reeves. So happy birthday to Patty.
Happy birthday.
Well, imagine my surprise when yesterday I logged on to Horse Nation, as I always do, and I saw an article written by our listener, Uta Shepherd, wrote a story about her horse, Conga. And, oh my gosh, it's a little bit of a tearjerker. It's Back on Track Horse Therapy, Uta and Conga. And then it says, sometimes we find horses, other times horses find us. Oh my God, come on. That's a tearjerker. That's the lead-in. Get your tissues ready, and the pictures of her hugging the horse. So congratulations to Uta for getting on Horse Nation and for having such a great story about her rescue horse that she got from Canter, which is where I got Edward. So love that website. Don't look at that website if you are not definitely wanting a horse.
Yeah, unless you have a stall free.
Unless you have a stall, because you will get one. Oh, my gosh, it's insane.
Hey, I talked to a guy yesterday, speaking of stalls, I don't know where this came from, but we had a guy on the driving show that'll come out today. He used to work for a draft horse operation that had 100 Belgians. And he said, so I said, ours used to eat a bale of hay a day. He said, that's right. We fed about 100 bales of hay a day. Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
And he said in the winter time we'd bring them in, we'd have to bring them in because they were Iowa or somewhere where it gets really cold and snowy. He said we'd bring them in, so we'd have to clean 60 to 70 stalls a day of draft horse poop. Oh my! And he said they had the manure spreader was pulled by the horses. They used the horses for to pull. That must have taken all day to clean that many stalls. You'd need 12 shaking forks.
You need a shaking fork with like a double bucket. You know?
Yeah. That's true.
Industrial
some big
size.
Poop.
Yeah. Wow.
Some big poop. Hey, I have some housekeeping stuff to do here before we get on with the show. I heard from about three of our listeners last night, one of them who is a student, apparently, of this lady. If you live in the Baltimore County, Maryland area, there is a horse on the loose. He's a gray gelding. He's an Oldenburg. They call him a white gelding. He's about 5 years old, 16 hands, about 1,200 pounds. Looks like an Oldenburg. Looks like a white horse. And he apparently is a good jumper because he jumped out of the fence and has now gone on adventures of the county. He was spotted. There were so many news articles on this yesterday out of Maryland. He was spotted in several places along a road. The sheriff spotted him one time, but they weren't able to catch him, and now he's gone again. So they have not caught him. They thought he'd be caught by this morning, and that's why I think all the listeners contacted me. We'll post it on our Facebook page. That posse is on the scene, and they do have a flyer you can print out. So if you're in that area and can put one up at the tack shops or something like grocery store or whatever, you can print their flyer out. Jennifer is going to post right now the link to the Net Posse posting right now so that you can see a picture of the horse. So if you're in that area, keep your eye out. You know, it may have been caught and put somebody's paddock. So keep your eye out in the paddocks nearby. But this was in the Baltimore County area, and there's a lot more details on exactly where it is in the article and everything. But he's a pretty horse. We had a jumper, and it was a white one. Isn't that ironic? We got this horse, and they told us that he was a good jumper, but that he sometimes doesn't like to stay in this field. Well, we had 5-foot fences, so we thought, we'll be fine. Nope. He just basically bounded over him like it was no big deal. And so every day we had several paddocks. He would decide who he wanted to hang out with, and he'd just go hopscotching across the paddocks until he got to the field he wanted to be in, and that's where he stayed for the day. Just crazy
horse.
Was
he white? Was he white?
Yes, he was white. He was white. He was a big white. He was standing about 17 hands, but he was white. Yes, he was.
Your story sounds just like Snowman, and this one that ran away sounds like Snowman. It's Snowman all over again. He's going home. Find out where you bought him from.
We sold that horse to a neat guy. He was actually dying of cancer at the time, and he wanted him as a therapy horse. He wanted to jump. He was a jumper guy, and he was in his 30s, and he wanted to jump. He wanted to have a horse that was safe, that he could jump as he got sicker and sicker. He wanted to jump up to the day he died, and from what we heard, he did. We just told him that when you get this horse there, keep him in the stall, or he's going to be gone. He apparently kept him. They put him out in the indoor arena is what we heard, because he couldn't jump out of that. So,
wow.
So he just didn't like to stay in paddocks. He just liked to be where he wanted to be. He never ran away on us, though, did he, Jennifer? He just went from paddock to paddock.
No, he never went anywhere. He'd just hop around and see who's where.
He'd get in with the mares, and he was a funny horse. So anyway, check that out on netposse.com, and Jennifer's posted on our Horses Morning Facebook page. And we wish her luck. Hope she finds Iron League and gets the Oldenburg back. That couldn't have been cheap to buy in the first place. During the Westminster Dog Show this year, they're giving discounts for the carriage rides down at Central Park, and it's a way of supporting the carriage owners down there and the drivers. Of course, we all know what's going on there, and it's supposed to be a fun event. So if you're heading out to the Westminster Dog Show, which apparently a couple of our listeners are because they contacted me about this, so they're all going to be heading over, and you're allowed to bring your dogs along and take them in the carriage. So if you want to give you and your dog a snowy carriage ride in New York, if I want to do a carriage ride in New York, I think I want to do it in the snow, don't you? Central Park in the snow? I think that would be cool.
Oh, my gosh, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
And also, I wanted to mention that I've had a couple of listeners ask us this question. Our host accommodations are provided by the Clarion Hotel in Lexington for Road to the Horse and Rolex. It's where we stay every time we go to Lexington. You can hurry and book your hotel accommodations right now for Road to the Horse, because that's just a little over a month away, at the Clarion Hotel. Your rate will include a full free breakfast every morning, free Wi-Fi, a free airport shuttle to and from the airport if you're flying in. The Clarion Hotel has a full-service restaurant called Cortland Southern Kitchen. Guarantee there's nothing Jamie can eat there except maybe a few of the sides. And also, if you're into bourbon, they have a bourbon bar there. They also have a pizza restaurant right in the complex as well. They have a huge indoor swimming pool with a whirlpool and sauna. It's only 10 minutes from the horse park. It's really easy to get to the horse park. It's a great hotel if you're staying for anything in Lexington, but especially for Road to the Horse. You can call them at 859-233-0512 and ask for the horse Road to the Horse group block to get the discounted rate. That's 859-233-0512. And also, if you're going to Rolex, I just checked with them yesterday. They only have like three of the $99 rooms left, and we haven't even started advertising it yet. What happened is all the people that knew about it last year called and booked again. So if you're going to Rolex and you need a cheap room that you know you can trust, it's $99. Give them a call at 859-233-0512 and ask for the Rolex experience, and they'll get you in at that 99. But there's only a couple of rooms left, so do it today. Thank you to the Clarion. I know you stayed there last year, right? You stayed last year when you were going. Yeah,
I did, and I had the baby with me, and they brought me a crib for his room, and they're great. The place is really clean and really nice, and I definitely wholeheartedly recommend it. That's where I would stay every time I go, for sure. So definitely, if you're going to go Road to the Horse or Rolex, do it. Stay there.
And if you have kids, the indoor swimming pool is huge. I mean, it's huge. It's like a play park. It's a great place for them to go. Something happened yesterday I have to tell you about. This is, we haven't used this in forever. Let me see if I can find it here. Well, this is a Glory story, our greyhound. We haven't told a story because she's such a good dog. We don't have too many stories about her. She's just
not
a
like
really,
Boomer.
Really good dog. Not like Boomer, not like the puppy.
Too easy.
She's just easy, you know. She's just a greyhound. So my father-in-law is here, and he brought her out yesterday to the fields. Well, she does have this habit of wanting to play with the horses. And we've been keeping her separated from the horses because we know that's not going to go well, right? It's like your mother used to say, somebody's going to get hurt. Well, that's what would happen if the pony wants to, Scooter wants to play with Glory in the worst way. They stare at each other through the fence. They sniff each other. And I'm sure if I put them out together, they would run and play and have a great time till Glory got dead. So we don't do that. Well, Glory, we put her out in the middle paddock. I said, well, let her loose. Let her go run. Well, there's the landlord's horse is out there, a white horse, by the way, pink sort of horse. And he's not happy about anything at all. He's kind of a brain dead guy. And she went tearing over to his paddock. Well, now there is a fence there and a gate. Well, she went tearing over to say hi to him and stuck her little nose through the gate, and he turned around and double-barreled at her. Just gave her both back feet. It hit the gate, hit the post. I thought he broke the post. These are like 6-inch wooden posts. I thought he broke the post. It made a huge crack. You should have seen that dog jump about 3 feet. And I guarantee you, nobody was hurt. Everything was fine, but it was a great way for her to learn the lesson because she ain't going near a horse ever again. She jumped about 3 feet and tore off back to me at about 100 miles an hour, just about ran into me and hid behind me. And I guarantee you, she's not going near a horse again. She was trembling, Jamie, when she got back. She was shaking.
She's kind of a wimpy greyhound anyway. But, that's always a good lesson when something scares them and they don't get kicked. Always a good lesson.
If she had been in feet range there, this was a full double barrel, full-on kick. She would have flew 10 feet and been dead instantly. He just went after her. I don't trust Jennifer has to work with that horse. I don't trust that horse a lot. But, yeah. So anyway, that's my glory story. She learned a valuable lesson yesterday, and everybody didn't get hurt. So that was good.
Oh,
no
bet. Good.
Well, Pablo's good. Just a fear barker. That's all his problem is. He's afraid of the whole world.
Yeah, he is. And I think he has a couple of screws loose. You know, I know there's people. I know Monty would like to say there's not a lot of horses with screws loose, but I kind of believe there are a couple. And this is one of them.
You just misunderstood.
Jennifer's with Monty on this one.
I'm on the horse husband side. I think there's horses with screws loose.
But just for safety's sake, Glenn doesn't lead Pablo around a lot.
No.
Because he is the horse husband still. In the end,
that's
always.
In the end, I am still a horse husband. So what do you got going on? I feel like I've been talking all morning. What do you got? What's happening out there in Arizona?
I was going to ask you, do you guys have any? I've put my husband kind of to the test here, and he actually responded with, "Is this a test?" Because Valentine's Day is coming up on exactly. Valentine's Day is coming up on Saturday, and I just said, you know what? We got a lot going on. We have so much that, you know, to be thankful for. We got this farm. We got the kid. We got this and that. I said, you know what? Don't go all crazy for Valentine's Day.
You got company coming in too, don't you? You got all kinds of company coming in. And
my mom's next week. My dad's in 2 weeks. Chad's taking off on a ski trip next week. It was just one of those things where I'm like, you know, on a side note, don't buy me flowers. He always buys me flowers on Valentine's Day. And while it's very sweet, they just die. And to me, it kind of starts to seem like a waste of money. I mean, Valentine's Day flowers are at least $50. And to me, $50 could be much better spent. So I said, listen, I have an idea. Let's not buy each other cards. Let's not buy me flowers. Let's make each other a card. Just make something. I don't care how small it is. You can write me a letter. Just make something personal. And his response is,
"Is
this a test?"
Look at you, getting all squishy.
I know. His response, "Is this a test?" No, it's not a test. I just said, you know, we've got this, everything is, we're kind of having to watch our pennies. And you know, I just said, please, you know, I'm not going to these big competitions because we're watching our money. We're trying to save up for your next down payment on another home, blah, blah, blah. And this is one of those things. And he's, is this a test? So he said, just write me a letter to be careful. So we decided last night that the best idea, we both were talking about, I'm like, what are we going to do? He's like, I don't know, but this whole thing is scaring me. Don't let it scare you. I'm just trying to be sensible.
Yeah,
here.
Because
like,
no matter what he writes, he's going to be wrong. That's what we worry about. See, I'm coming from the guy's point of view here. I'm worried now. Oh God, what am I going to write? And whatever I write, she's going to have expected something else, and she's going to be pissed that I didn't write what she wanted me to write. See, now you put the pressure on. We're going to clam up. He's going to have writer's block. He's probably going to be flying his plane today, thinking about it. Look what you've done to the poor man.
I did not mean to stress him out. I just was trying to come up with a money-saving idea. So I actually...
Well, not only that, you're eating vegan, so there's all this kind of crap in the house that he doesn't like. So you got that going. He's got that already going on. He has to go out to Burger King at lunch and hide his McDonald's bags. So
no. We'll get to that in just a second. But I did come up with a really good idea to save money. The entrance fee to Turf Paradise on Saturday, they're selling $2 beers, and it's $2 to get in. So we're going to the track on Valentine's Day. The oh, my gosh. Honeymoon's over.
Yeah, you're
exactly.
Done.
We're going to the track, and we're taking our kid.
You're an old married couple now.
We're going to the track for $2 beers, baby.
Oh, if you really want to save money, you have to go after about the second race. I learned this from my cheap uncle because he used to take us to the Greyhound track. You have to wait till after the second race and then go to the garbage bin and you can get a free program. You don't have to spend $2 that way. Just saying.
Oh my gosh, I am not pulling anything out of the garbage. I'll just steal somebody. Somebody will set it down and turn around and I'll grab it and run away. See? see how cheap we can make this day at the track. And I figure I'm going to win a lot of money anyway. So it's like making money going to the track. Obviously, you guys know my track record. I'm
there
awesome.
Goes the $50 flower money.
Exactly. Is it? I said that there should be $50 better spent. How better than to give it to the track? I'm telling
boy,
you.
Those lower level races at the lower level tracks too, they're tough. They're tough to bet on.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm awesome at these lower. This is as low level as it gets too, and probably what's going to happen is I'm going to come home with a horse.
So, exactly right. You're going to see a claimer. It'll be a $400 claimer, and you're going to come home with him.
$400, babe. We can get it. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be in trouble. So the other thing I wanted to mention, you said that Chad is getting his hamburgers at lunch. It's not true. Because
yeah.
I lost 10 pounds in the first month of being a vegan. He got all inspired and decided on February 1st that he was going to go vegan as well.
He's skinny as a rail.
For a month. Hey, apparently he feels like he's got a couple pounds he can lose. So on February, actually it was like the 28th of January, he decides he's going to go vegan. And I told him, I said, listen, if you go back and listen to our shows, you will know that the first 2 weeks I was very, very hungry. I was starving to death. But then the second 2 weeks, I don't know, your body just adjusts and you're not as hungry anymore. You eat a lot less. And I said, just, you got to make it through the first 2 weeks. Well, by day three, he was such an asshole. I was like, what is wrong with you? And he's like, I don't know. I think I'm just hungry. I was like, well, you got to just stop snacking. You know, if you're going to snack, get some fruit. You can't have any cheese or meat. By day six, he's more of an a-hole. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, this is not going very well. By day nine, by February 9th, which is like 12 days. So he didn't quite make the 2 weeks. We go to this dinner function. I had to go play Air Force Wife last Saturday night, and they had like one of those big chefs out cutting giant.
Oh, prime rib. And
oh, yeah. And he's like standing there, and I saw a little tear.
Drooling.
I saw a little tear come out of the corner of his eye. And I said, listen, I'm going to divorce you if you stay like this. So please, for God's sake, go get some meat. I can't take it anymore. You're such a jerk.
Did he go get a slab like the size of Rhode Island?
Glenn, I was halfway through the sentence of just go, and he was, boom, turned tail and ran. Came back over to the table with this, I mean, enough meat for 2 weeks worth.
Did
I'm
he
like,
cover
well,
it with cheese and
meat.
Milk, too?
Oh, well, they had mac and cheese, so he gets mac and cheese, yeah. Gets this whole giant
which
plate
I
of meat.
Which I know you like, so that got to be tough for you because you like mac and cheese. Yeah.
I do, because it's a hearty vegetarian meal, but it's not vegan, so I ate a salad for dinner. I've been so good. So he
don't
sits down.
Don't you get sick of lettuce and stuff?
Listen, the story is not about me right now, Glenn. The story is about
you. Just go have a slab of meat. At least some cheese. I mean, at least get some mac and cheese. I couldn't live without
it.
How do you live without
it? Can't do it. Can't do it. I've been really good. I've been making dinner every night. We have lots of vegetables. I've been very healthy. But Chad can't take it. Couldn't take it anymore. He swears he's going to go back to it. I'm like, whatever. Please don't.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
Some
okay,
people
yeah.
are just not meant to be vegetarians.
You
and
think
my husband is one.
At lunch at the cafeteria at the Air Force. Do you think all of the fellow pilots? What's his nickname again?
Skate.
Skate. You think they make endless fun of Skate for eating a couple carrots and some celery at lunch?
Can I tell you that he made me promise not to tell any of his coworkers that he was vegan? He was like, you can't tell anybody.
No, they would endlessly. He would be like ridiculed. And I don't care what rank he is.
I know. He's a colonel. And these people, these little guys under him would be totally ragging him. Yeah, he's like, you can't tell anybody.
Would be making fun of him.
Yeah. He's like, they asked me to go out to lunch the other day. And I told them that I had already had my lunch packed and that I had to work. And he had nothing to do. And he's like, I couldn't go. I just couldn't go. I couldn't let them see me be vegan.
Out. Well, they're all having steak for lunch. They probably went to one of those Brazilian restaurants where they bring the meat around on skewers and slice it off.
Exactly.
He would have ducked on the spot.
Exactly. Well, hey, listen, for those of you going, hey, this is a horse radio show and you guys are talking about dogs and husbands, let's get into the horse health. This is one of those segments where we all get to learn a lot and we always get good feedback on Dr. Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition. And Jennifer sat down with her yesterday and talked to her for quite a while about carbohydrates, and I'm really looking forward to it. But first we need to hear from our sponsors at Back on Track.
Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury, as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries, is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products. And I'm so happy to welcome back to the show Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition. And each month, Dr. Cubitt stops by and takes some time out of her very busy life to talk about various and sundry horse health and horse nutrition topics. And of late, we've been kind of going through the different types of nutrients that you find in your horse feed and what they do for your horse and how they're important and what they don't do for your horse. And it looks like this month, Dr. Tanya, it's carbohydrate time, eh?
It is. I am excited to be back and talking about this because I do get a lot of questions on carbohydrates. So anytime that I can share with people to try and clear up any of those misnomers is a good time. So I thought I'd talk about kind of the two different types of carbohydrates, and then all carbohydrates come from plants. So kind of give you an overview of how plants grow, because that becomes important when people start to ask me, well, when should I turn my horse out to grass? So... and then a couple of those values, we hear water-soluble carbohydrates and ethanol-soluble carbohydrates and starch and fructans and, oh, my God, what is it all? And then just to put it in perspective, well, how much sugar and starch has something like corn got in it versus alfalfa? So that's kind of my idea for our discussion today.
All right. That's a whole bunch, and I've got my pen at the ready.
Awesome. Why don't I start with then the breakdown of carbohydrates? Because I will have people ask me all the time, well, I read on the internet or I heard from my next door neighbor that my horse needs a zero carbohydrate diet. And I say, well, are we going to put him on the horsey version of Atkins? Not quite sure what he's going to eat. And it makes sense when you think about carbohydrates are broken down into two major categories, non-structural carbohydrates and structural carbohydrates. And the names really describe those categories very well. Structural carbohydrates are exactly as the name suggests. It gives the plant its structure, its fiber. So the cell wall makes up the fiber or the structural carbohydrates. So your first cut hay that's a little stalky or stemmy or mature grass that's quite tall, it has a lot of structural carbohydrates in it. If you listen to me every time I talk, I try to make my plug that fiber is the most important part of any horse's diet. So the structural carbohydrates really cannot be reduced in the horse's diet. They're absolutely critical. What we can reduce and what people are hearing is the non-structural carbohydrates. So non-structural carbohydrates, they don't offer the plant any structural value. They're the cell contents or the energy storage unit to the plant. So in those horses that, say, have cresty necks, they have some kind of metabolic disorder, whether it's tying up, obesity, laminitis, insulin resistance, these are the categories of horses that we can decrease the non-structural carbohydrates. But all horses need structural carbohydrates, fiber.
So you could use, I don't know if I'm getting this right, fiber and structural carbohydrate are always the same thing, or?
Yes.
So they're always
now, there are different types of fiber.
Uh-huh, that's what I was
but
wondering.
That's for a whole nother
discussion.
That's
a different discussion. Okay, that's a different category. So structural carbohydrates are fiber, but not all fiber is a structural carbohydrate.
Now, all fibers are a structural carbohydrate. Let's think about structural carbohydrates as like an umbrella term. Fiber is also like an umbrella term. And within structural carbohydrate, we've got fiber. And then within fiber, we have hemicellulose, cellulose, lignin, blah, 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 all these different ones.
No wonder you
but
guys have to go to school for so long.
Structural carbohydrates.
That's why it takes you 8 years to get a master's degree and a PhD and everything else. This
and you know what? When you graduate, all you really know is how much you don't know.
Well, you know way, 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 way lots, Dr. Tanya Kubit. So we've got structural carbohydrates are important and good for horses' diets. I've got that so far. I've written that one down.
Good. Then we go to the non-structural carbohydrates, which can be broken down into really sugars and starches. Then you can break sugars down into water-soluble carbohydrates, which just means in a lab you can extract those out of the plant with water. So it's nothing earth-shattering. And ethanol-soluble carbohydrates, which in a lab, they can be extracted out of the plant using 80% ethanol. So really that's where those two terms come from. And then fructans, which are another type of sugar. And water-soluble carbohydrates, it's really a calculation of ethanol-soluble carbohydrates and fructan. Hope you had your pen because it can get very confusing. But water-soluble, the WSC value is the ESC plus fructan. What a lot of people will see or have been hearing on the internet is those non-structural carbohydrates. The non-structural carbohydrate is really a calculation of your WSC plus starch. Got any questions on that before we move on?
Well, so the whole non-structural carbohydrate section, the non-structural carbohydrate file folder, is very confusing. That's what I've gotten out of that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It is.
It's
it very is very confusing.
Okay.
What we now have is a lot of feed companies won't put those values on the feed tag, on the guaranteed analysis, because the analytical techniques aren't great. Let's just leave it at that. But if you are going to put them on the tag, the American Association of Feed Control Officers, or AFCO, have deemed that you need to write sugar, which represents the ESC, dietary starch, and fructan. They're the three values that you have to list on a tag. And you only need to list fructan if the major portion of the feed is coming from forage, because there are no fructans in grains like oats or barley.
Okay.
So you're going to start seeing these values a little more often as feed companies start to decide, well, I think we want to go ahead and put these on the tags, because as horse owners, we want to know. We want to know, and we don't want to have to always call and find out. A lot of companies will actually list these values on their websites, but the more things that we can guarantee and put on the tag, it just makes it a lot easier for consumers. So look out for those values. You're going to start seeing them a little bit more. But when we talk about those metabolic horses, and I said we could lower those non-structural carbohydrates, but really, when I say lower, for a sick horse or a horse that's currently got laminitis, we're really looking for the total diet. Now, that includes the forage portion of the diet, so the hay and the pasture, plus the grain, to be 10% or less of those non-structural carbohydrates, that NSC value.
Okay, so if I was to look at a company that lists these non-structural carbohydrates in the fashion mm-hmm. you explained. Yep. What would be considered a high number that would be appropriate for a horse that's in heavy work and has no health issues? What would that be? Because they seem to put – do they have to do it by percentage, or is it some other milligrams or something?
We do put it on percentage, and this is, again, this whole topic that we're talking about today can get very tricky. And this is where – so racehorses, they actually need a lot of these non-structural carbohydrates. These types of energies are used for that quick release, fast movement. So barrel racing horses, race horses, they need this type of energy. So yes, we do list it, we will calculate it as percentage. So it's not uncommon to see a racehorse feed to be up around 35-40% sugars and starches, non-structural carbohydrates, because they really need that type of energy. Our general performance horses, like our three-day event horses or our dressage or showing horses, hunter horses, they don't need that much quick-release energy. Typically, we're trying to calm them and slow them down. So we're going to look at if a horse isn't sick and has nothing wrong with them, isn't overweight, doesn't suffer from any of these metabolic issues, then you could probably see around 20-25% is an okay number for those horses. But for the sick horse, we really want it to be 10% or less. Now, if you've got a horse that tends to have a bit of a crusty neck, but you're keeping him exercised and you're just a little concerned, then 12% or less is okay.
Okay. So besides looking at my feed labels, I'm going to go to the feed store, I'm going to the feed company website, I'm going to speak with a feed company representative or nutritionist like you. Besides mm-hmm. getting that information, how else do I know what types of starch
values? How much sugars and starches are in the general ingredients?
Yeah, how would I know?
That's a good question, because I really like people to look at the ingredients on their feed tag. So if you're trying to look for a low-carb, a low-sugar-starch feed for your horse, you really want to avoid feeds that are high in things like corn, barley, and even oats. If I give you here, so the sugar and starch value, now my sugar value here for these grains is ESC, because again, there's no fructan, but the sugar value for corn is 3%. That doesn't sound bad. The starch value is 70%. So that NSC value that I'm trying to keep low is 73%. So if we've got a feed that's really high in corn, it's just going to have too much sugars and starches for my horse. Barley, 7% sugar, not bad, 54% starch. So cereal grains, they store their energy, excuse me, as starch. Oats, 3% sugar, 44% starch. Now, a lot of people like to use beet pulp. And there are some companies that sell just straight beet pulp for a low-carb feed. And it is. It ranges anywhere between 5 and 10% sugars and 1% starch, because most forages, beet pulp being a forage, do not store their energy as starch. Alfalfa, this is another tricky one, because a lot of people will say to me, oh, I couldn't feed alfalfa to my, metabolic horse, that's got far too much carbs in it. No, alfalfa is a really low-carb forage choice. 8% sugar, 1% starch. So my combined NSC value is 9%. So that is a good option for performance horses, because alfalfa does have more energy or calories than most grass hay. So if you've got a really fat horse, it may put extra weight on them, but the sugar and starch content is low. So I recommend alfalfa to be in a diet, say a horse that ties up and needs a low sugar starch diet, or even a performance horse that has some of these metabolic issues and we're trying to maintain weight and exercise level, alfalfa is ideal.
Interesting. So if you've got a horse that has been diagnosed with a metabolic issue, if you're feeding the horse alfalfa as part of his total diet and part of his forage, that weight gain is the type of weight gain that is associated with higher calorie content, not the type of weight gain associated with that metabolic health issue manifesting itself, which is, I would guess, the more dangerous of the two.
Mm-hmm. And in people, we know that The weight gain that is really dangerous is weight that you gain around your abdominal, around your stomach, really, about your, around your abdominal cavity. That's the most related to heart disease, diabetes, cardiovascular issues. In horses, that it's not around their belly, it's on their crest. So horses that develop a crest, even if they don't develop body fat anywhere else, they're still at much higher risk for developing their version of those human diseases like insulin resistance or laminitis.
Interesting. So,
yeah.
Again, now I've got a healthy horse that does not have a metabolic issue. Mm-hmm. Do I need to be concerned? And he's a weekend show horse. I take him to barrel yep. races on weekends, perhaps, or some events, or maybe I do the local hunter circuit. Do I have to be concerned about looking at the NSC values of his horse feed?
No, not really. The one time that you would probably look at the ingredients in his horse feed is if he starts to get a little hot, like he's a bit hyper and he's a bit uncontrollable and you can't exercise him anymore and you still need to give him feed to maintain his body weight. We do know also that these high non-structural carbohydrate ingredients like corn, oats, barley can also elicit a different type of behavior in some horses prone to it. So if we feed, you know, a horse that's already tending to be a little hyper, a thoroughbred or an Arabian, high grain, high sugar starch diets, they might get a little more hyper. But other than that, no, you really don't have to look at it. Now, feeding these high grains isn't necessarily the most healthy for horses. We really like to have our performance horses on more of a high-fat, high-fiber diet. It's just better for overall gut health. But as far as metabolic health, you don't really need to worry about it. If you keep your horse's body weight under control, you're fine.
Now, do they know, this is a little bit off topic, do they know at this point without any doubt or do they have suspicions that these metabolic issues can be caused by high sugar diets like in a human? Because a human can develop diabetes simply from living on a very poor quality diet that's high in sugars for over a long period of time. He's statistically more likely to develop a metabolic issue. Do they mm-hmm. have any data like that for horses yet?
No, really in horses it more comes down to that we know that these high sugar starch diets can exacerbate these issues. But obesity is the trigger to most of them. Once you get fat, you're typically going to then get insulin resistant, and then because you're insulin resistant, that's going to mess with glucose and insulin regulation, and that will affect blood flow, and that can cause laminitis, as well as GI issues, which there's lots of different causes for laminitis. So it's not really the cause of it, but we know that horses that are susceptible, that have those issues, cannot have high sugars and starches because it will make it worse.
Interesting.
On that, a horse that has had laminitis, has been overweight, insulin resistant, laminitic, if you get the body weight back under control, it still doesn't matter. You still have to be very cautious with what you feed that horse because obesity is much more damaging than being too thin. So the longer you're overweight, the more hormonal patterns are changed, the more lasting damaging effects that you have. So a lot of horses that I work with, we've gotten their body weight under control, they're giving them plenty of exercise, they no longer have a crest, but we can never ever feed them a high sugar starch diet. And we also have to make sure that they stay off high sugar grasses as well.
I was going to ask that question. What about pasture?
Pasture.
Grass can't possibly have grass in it, sugar in it. It doesn't taste sweet at all.
Oh, yes. You've picked spring grass and chewed on it, and it's really sweet versus like stalky old grass. And really, the forage portion of your horse's diet is the largest portion of the horse's diet. So most of us get really caught up with the grain that we feed the horse, but really the forage is the largest part of his diet. So if you've got a 1,000-pound animal, he's going to eat at least 1% of his body weight in fiber. That's 10 pounds. Not many people are going to feed 10 pounds of grain to their horse. So we've got a lot riding on this forage portion. And legumes versus grass, they store their energy differently. But let me go back to how do plants grow, because this really is important for the big question is, when do I turn my horse out? So we know that spring grass is full of sugar, so I'm concerned about when I turn my horse out. Well, it comes down to more than just which season I should avoid and what time of day I should avoid. So we did some research where we actually, in the spring and in the summer and in the fall and the winter, we measured horses that were out on grass and they were grazing on grass all day long and all night, and we measured the glucose and insulin in their blood, and then we measured the sugars in the grass. And the sugars in the grass are the lowest in the morning and they're the highest in the afternoon. And the reason why is during the day, the sun shines on the plant, photosynthesis, if you go back to high school biology, photosynthesis occurs, and these plants accumulate and store energy. In grasses, that's sugar. In legumes, it's starch, and we'll get to that. But then throughout the day, it accumulates. So by the middle of the afternoon, we've got all this sugar accumulated or energy accumulated. And then when the sun goes down, no more photosynthesis, no more energy storage. So then that's when the plant grows. And it grows overnight. And to grow, it uses that energy first thing in the morning when the sun comes back out. That plant has used up all the energy overnight, and now it's ready to start the whole cycle again and start accumulating energy so at night it can grow. So first thing in the morning is the lowest sugars in the grasses. Middle of the afternoon is the highest. But grasses and legumes like alfalfa or clover are different. Think about legumes like alfalfa or clover as self-limiting. They're just like they have a gas tank like your truck does. And when the sun is shining on them, they will only accumulate as much starch as can fill up that gas tank. Then the plant has to grow in order to make space so we can put more in there. Grasses, they will continue to store sugars while the sun is shining. There is no limit to the amount of sugar that they can store. I've seen some values on grasses where the sugar content was up around 20-25%. There's no way legumes are ever going to get that high.
Interesting. But yet you don't see, at least for horses, pastures with legumes in them, because nobody would pasture a horse on an alfalfa pasture.
No, and the other reason is, as agronomists, what we've done, the other things we think about when we design grasses for horse pastures is, well, now we confine horses into smaller areas. So we've got 4 or 5 horses on 5 acres. So there's a lot of areas of the field, like near the water or near the gate, that it's going to get trampled and maybe they're going to get muddy. And this grass has got to withstand seasons. Because you've got to think about, and the horses in the wild, horses roamed over wide open spaces. They didn't spend all their time on one plot of grass. And so as agronomists, we've tried to make grasses stronger so that they can withstand trampling and not get ripped out and not die during the seasons. What makes a grass stronger? Sugar. That's its ability to store energy. So a lot of your improved pastures are going to be higher in sugar content.
Interesting. So is taller grass, for example, you mow it and you set your mower at a very high level, or you have fewer horses so the grass is taller, is taller grass going to be lower in sugar than grass that's been cropped real short? Because I know my horse always eats the short stuff first.
The short stuff is the sweetest.
Uh-huh.
And so, because it's the youngest, it has the least amount of those structural carbohydrates. As the plant grows and gets more of those structural carbohydrates, it also develops certain types of those structural carbohydrates that are less palatable and less digestible. So that grass isn't that tasty. So we don't like people to leave the grass too high, because then there's just a lot of bulk. So that will just make them fat. But we don't want you to cut it too short either, because too short, we're going to only have that really sweet, sweet grass. And also, if you get a drought or just a time where there's less moisture, then your grass is a lot more stressed and may actually die off. So we recommend, you know, around 5-6 inches
Got it.
For a good height, yeah.
Got it. I'm going to make a note. Set, reset, mower. Okay. So that's how the plant grows. That's how it stores the carbohydrates, and then it uses them up overnight to get a little bit taller. So we've got that, and we've got to – so ideally, you're going to – if you've got that horse that is going to have some metabolic issues, timing his turnout is going to give him the ability to eat a little bit more grass with less effect on his metabolism.
Absolutely, yeah.
Got it. Okay.
The other things you can do are also, if you don't have the ability to lock them in the afternoon, is you can put a grazing muzzle on them, and they can still eat grass through the grazing muzzle, and they can drink and all kinds of things.
And that's actually something that both of our horses wear, because they're both prone to chubby and prone to cresty. And something, an added benefit that I discovered with the grazing muzzles is because of the thickness of the rubber base on it, it keeps them from eating the super short grass because you can't get down that far. So not
they
only
they can't nip it exactly,
they can't pull it really close to the ground, and it frustrates Beaker a little bit because Beaker's a little fussy. He would really rather not eat that tall, stringy, less tasty stuff. He wants the really yummy bits at the bottom. So, but very well worth the time and effort to put, to get your horse to learn how to wear one of those.
The only thing I think they need to develop with a grazing muzzle is a harness that goes up over the neck, over the withers, and straps around the girth, because they always get them off.
That is very difficult. You have to become a real expert at fitting those things. And,
oh, you do, yes.
Oh, yes. And Cribox is your friend, that stuff they make to make your halter taste terrible so his friend doesn't take it off for him.
That's a good point. I haven't thought of that one because, yes, the other ones in the field are always ripping it off them.
Yeah.
There's just one more thing that I want to touch on before we end, and that is we mentioned a little earlier about the sugar and starch content and what is the ideal percentage, 10 to 12% for your sick horses. And so when people look at feeds, and if they're looking at the tag, they're going to be looking for those values. But what I need to get people to understand is percentages don't mean anything unless they're assigned to an amount of feed that you're feeding. So, for example, let's say we've got a feed that has 25% non-structural carbohydrates, which most people would say, and based on what I've just said, is way too high. There's no way they would ever feed that horse. But you're only feeding 1 pound a day of it. Then we have, so if you work it out, you actually only end up feeding your horse about 4 ounces of sugars and starches versus if you were to feed a feed that was 13% sugars and starches. Well, that's more close to what we would like, but you have to feed 3 pounds a day of it. Now we're getting around 6 ounces of sugars and starches. If we look at 11%, but you're feeding 5 pounds a day of it, you're getting 9 ounces of sugars and starches. So don't be fooled by just looking at the percentage. Do a little quick calculation. Get out your phone, find the calculator app, and look at, okay, this is the percentage amount, and I have to feed 1 pound a day. How much am I actually getting out of it?
It's a little bit of mathematics.
Anything from 10 ounces or less of sugars is going to be fine.
There we go. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition. If someone has more questions and they're utterly confused about this whole nutrition thing, how can they find you?
They can email me at tcubitt, C-U-B-I-T-T, at gmail.com.
There we go.
And try and answer them.
And the website is performancehorsenutrition.com. And I also found on performancehorsenutrition.com.
We do have a Facebook page, too, so they can put their questions on there.
And Facebook, and then everybody can enjoy the answers. You have a great book there, The 101 Most Frequently Asked Horse Nutrition Questions. I'm going to buy that for myself for Valentine's Day. Available.
Wonderful. And we just got more printed, so they are available. And you can go on and PayPal those books. Yeah, they're cool. There's 101 different questions that people ask that we've heard over the years, and we've tried to cover them all in there.
Great stuff. Thank you very much, Dr. Tanya Cubitt.
Thank you. See you next time.
And thank you to Jennifer for putting that together yesterday. Dr. Cubitt can't join us in the morning because she's getting her kids ready for school. I think she's West Coast, so we appreciate her, Jennifer, doing that ahead of time. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair, and we are brought to you today by Back on Track Products. I have good news for everybody. The horse we talked about that jumped out of his field in Maryland and went missing, I just heard from a student of the girl who owns the horse that it has been found and it's being transported back to the farm right now. So a happy ending.
Yay! A happy ending for that.
Always good to hear a happy one.
That's the only details we have, is it is on its way home. No word on where it was found or what was going on or anything.
You know, I wonder if it's like a cat who finds the food is better at the neighbor's house when they put food out for it because they think it's starving, and then they end up staying there. Is it like that where, you know, some other horse owner was putting grain out for it and it just decided to like that grain better?
Here, kitty, 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 yeah. kitty.
Exactly. I think that's what happened. Hey, I'm sure. You were talking about Valentine's earlier. We haven't mentioned that I did very well this year. Didn't I, Jennifer? I'll take Jennifer.
What'd you do?
I did very well this year. I had to give her Valentine's presents early because I wanted her to have it for the Wellington trip. But I got her a Lilo handbag at Ada, a very nice horsey Lilo handbag at Ada. And anybody that knows anything about quality handbags knows that that I did well doing that, didn't I, Jamie?
Well, the only problem is, Glenn, you better have something on the day, because you do get partial credit for gifts
given
before.
Wait a minute. That's not all. I bought her two pairs of carrots breeches and a show shirt.
Well, now you just screwed yourself for any other holidays.
So, Jennifer, did I do well? Am I good? Am I good for Saturday? Do I have to get you flowers, too, or are we good?
You know what I want you to do, Glenn, for Valentine's Day?
You want me to write a letter. La, 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 la.
Write a letter, baby.
I just want you to write down how you feel.
Yes. Write down, get in touch with your emotions, Glenn. Write down how you feel at this time and how, you know, if you could come up with the maybe 1,001 reasons that you love Jennifer, write that down. Just 1,001.
After 30 years, I probably could come up with 20, 30? I don't know. Can you just send me a copy of your husband's and then I'll look at that?
We'll see. Well, I think he thinks he's getting out of it because he's taking me to the track. Where's my card, baby?
Now, did you sit down and do his yet? That's two-way street, you know.
I'm easy. Are you talking about me, Miss Emotional? Yeah. I can come up with this thing in 5 seconds.
Probably good. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It'd be 30 pages long.
Yeah, exactly. Front and back.
and then he'll go, do I have to read all of that?
I know. Exactly. It's like the Friends episode with Ross and Rachel, and she writes him like this 10-page thing, and he falls asleep reading it, and the next day she's like, well, what do you think? And he's like, I totally agree. And, of course, he agreed to, like, all these different things. So you better read it. Let me just tell you.
Well, we're waiting for Victoria to show up here. Did you have anything else?
You posted this thing, and I've actually read over it, and I really like it. It's a British version, so you can kind of change it to the Americanized whatever we need. But the life hacks for horses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I especially liked number two because I actually did this, and I do this, and I saved them from when Lucas was getting out of diapers, is to save diapers for poulticing feet. Have you guys ever used that? But not dirty ones, Jennifer. Jesus.
I mean, we're concerned.
So you use the diapers to wrap around for hoof abscesses. Have you ever used those?
Absolutely have. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. They're so nice because they just wrap right around the feet.
Well,
but you
they're
have to
already
get the right
kind
size.
Of shaped that way, right?
They're Velcro in place, so I like that one. And then brown paper bags for bandaging legs. Like, Jennifer, who of us has not done a poultice with a brown paper bag? You crinkle it up
it's
and get it wet.
A brown paper bag nowadays, though. You have to ask
this
for them.
This is very
special.
True. Well, you know, I've used my feed bags because I use the Purina feeds, and the strategy on the outside is like the cover, but on the inside of the bag is still a brown paper bag. So feeding grain bags. I haven't done this, but I really like the idea. You know how you can go anywhere and get crazy colored duct tape?
Yes. Yeah, that's a real big thing now.
I'm going to do that because I've got all these new poles for my show jumps, and these duct tapes you can use to color your poles.
I
think it's such
that.
A cool idea. I never thought of that either.
Well, the nice part is you don't have to worry about painting them, and that would be a pain, especially if you got the duct tape with designs, then you would never paint it that way. Plus, if you get sick of it or if it just gets old looking, you just put a new layer of duct tape. That's a good idea.
Right, because I painted initially all my poles. You have to use the tape on the sides to, like, make sure you don't get the corners, and you peel it off, and it always screws it up. So I love this. I'm going to go get some of that. People have been posting this a lot, to use pallets. You flip a pallet over and nail it to the wall, and then you've got shelves, which looks
really I heard cool. about that. You know, all the pallets we seem to get, I don't know, it wouldn't be very wide, right? It'd be, yeah, and they're always falling apart. But it wouldn't be very wide, would it?
Well, they got it hanging on the wall in the picture here, and they've got two bottles that they've got on each shelf. And so it doesn't look like you can store all that much, but, you know, for easy shelves, that would probably be pretty easy. But, again, all my pallets that I have either are half broken and or will give you splinters like crazy.
Right.
Where are you getting these nice pallets?
Oh, Jennifer, you're right. I forgot. Jennifer just reminded me that we paneled our barn with pallets. Jennifer, how did
we
end
like
up
Wayne
with so many pallets?
When we were done. Yeah.
Yeah, how did we end up with so many pallets? I don't remember.
I don't remember. I really don't.
We took
we had a lot of them.
Jamie took all the nails out and took the pallet boards and actually we did the walls of the barn so it looked like it was wainscoted when we were done. It looked very fancy.
I'm just wondering what kind of ghetto-ass barn you guys have, because didn't we already have the discussion about duct tape on your fencing?
Yeah.
You know what? You got to go with what you have, you know? So I want to see pictures. I want pictures of your facility because I'm just going to love it. I love it. I love it already. And you,
that
Jennifer
was very
has to remind
bad-tech.
You.
That's very good.
Pre-measured jump standards by putting tape around your jump standards, and then you got a little bit of color.
You know, that's a good idea because I can't tell you how many times I had to change the jumps for Jennifer, and she'd say, oh, it's the third hole, it's the fourth hole. You can never remember which hole it's supposed to be for what height. So I think that doing the color coding is a good idea.
That is
put
a good
it
idea.
In your red
I like that.
Hole. The red one.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
love that idea.
That's
I
much
love
easier
it.
For the horse husband. Yeah, that's a horse husband approved.
Yeah, and then I've used this one a lot, is you get to the barn, you drive all the way out to the barn, and you realize you've forgotten your boots or your half chaps, and then you realize you're going to have to ride, but you're going to get those pinches around on your calves, you know, the stirrup leathers pinch. Take a polo wrap and wrap it around your calf, like you're wrapping your horse's leg. Granted, it's not as sticky as anything, but you won't get those pinches and you still get to ride. It's great for trail rides to put a polo wrap or a standing bandage around your legs. Just easy life hack right there.
One on here I got to mention that I saw used that Reese's grooms used the other day. They go through tons of baby wipes. They get the baby wipes and they actually use it to clean the horses off. If they come in and they have a manure stain or whatever, for a quickie, they just use the baby wipes. Now, there actually is a company that makes wipes for that. For horses, they're a little bigger and tougher than the baby wipes. But, yeah, that's what they use them for.
I love that. Wipe their nose, wipe their eyes. That's a great idea. The most genius one that I have seen on here, I absolutely love, because I have a drawer full of boots, and I'm always pulling boots out for each horse that gets ridden. Every horse has their own pair of boots. And I'm always pulling them out of the drawer going, is this one Joey's? Is this one Duke's? Is this one? And these people have the genius idea of hanging Velcro on the wall. So it's a stick of Velcro across the wall, and you Velcro your boots to it, because your boots are already stick to anything Velcro, and you just pull them off the wall when you need them. Oh, my
great
gosh,
idea.
I'm so doing that.
If you use the waterproof board, then you could just hose them right on there. Just put them up and hose them right on there. That's a good idea.
That is a great idea. I love it. And then the last one that I liked, although it's hard to do with puppies and kids around, is, you know, those little, like, do not eat silica gel packets that come with any shoes or whatever you buy. Put those in your tack where you get, like, areas that you store tack, because it'll keep your tack from getting moldy while in those storage boxes.
Yep. And my nephew is the silica gel king of the United States.
What does that mean?
He distributes silica gel. He sells all those little packets to the shoe places and everybody.
No way.
Yes, he is the guy who packages them. He buys silica gel by the 1,000-pound containers, and then he puts them in all those little packs. Yep, that's what he does for a living. Yep, he owns that company that does that.
So he's in a bar, and he's talking to a woman, and she's like, what do you do? And he's like, I put silica gel in those little sugar sweetener packets, and I send them out to shoe companies. Dude, is that picking up a chick or what? I mean, come on.
Hey, it's time for this.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And we welcome Victoria Spicer to the show. She joins us every week from across the pond. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning to you both.
Thank you so much for joining us. I saw a story, and maybe it's a non-story. Sorry that I'm kind of springing this on you, but did I see a story that Blueberry is going to retire soon?
Well, actually, I saw it on a website called Dressage News, and I read it, and I thought, gosh, I wonder if this is true, if this is what Carl said, and if so, what a good exclusive that they got. So we chatted to Carl yesterday, and he said that he's definitely kind of thinking about that Vallegro and himself will both retire after Rio, but nothing's been set in stone. I think he was just kind of talking aloud in his very friendly, open manner that he has. So not guaranteed yet, but it might happen.
Yeah, so what I was saying was Vallegro, Charlotte Desjardins' mount, was going to retire after Rio. And yeah, like you said, it's a huge exclusive. And I kind of went to check y'all's webpage and I didn't see it there. So I was like, maybe this is just, like you said, him just talking away and somebody, when he doesn't realize it, writing down everything he says.
I mean, Carl is so great with the media, and he's so open and honest, and he'll just chat away. He's really friendly to everyone. And I think he kind of didn't quite expect it to make headline news. And Rio for a while seemed so far away and sometime in the future. And now suddenly it's next summer. It is creeping up on us. And, you know, I kind of got mixed feelings, because I'd be gutted if Vallegro retired. And I think, you know, it'd be such a big loss to the dressage world. And he's still quite young. But on the other hand, you know, what else has he got to prove? He's won everything there is to win. He's Olympic, European and world champion. He's won the World Cup. He's broken all the world records. You know, at one point, you have to say that he's done enough and that's it. And I guess that's Carl's decision to do that.
Yeah, well, nobody's going to argue with it. Although I think a horse like that loves the spotlight. It just seems like he really enjoys it. So just do the best. I'm sure they're going to do the best of what the horse wants to do. So we will we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yes, indeed. And the same with Carl as well. You know, he's been such a mainstay of the British team for years. But I'm sure he will get to a point where he'd rather be training riders and taking it a bit easier and not running a huge, big stable. So we will see.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one article that you guys posted, okay, so the sport of polo is thrilling and exciting, and it's difficult. These guys are galloping around all over the place, but you guys have a tournament, a polo tournament that takes place, are you sitting down, Jennifer, on a frozen lake. How do they do that?
Well, it's in Geneva rather than in the UK, but it's part of the European roundup, so there you go. And, it's in kind of a ski place, and the lake freezes over, and they play a polo match there, and they also hold a race meeting there called White Turf, and they have lots of races, and they also do this completely crazy thing called skewering, or however you pronounce it, and it involves horses galloping, and they have harness on, and behind them are people on skis. So it's quite exciting.
Oh my god, yeah, they call it, I think, ski georing over here, but or however you pronounce it exactly. But these pictures, I mean, let me just say that galloping and turning and stopping and spinning would seem hard enough on regular grass, but to do it on top of a frozen lake, obviously covered in snow, but I would be so nervous that it would break, you know, that you'd fall in at some point. That's insane.
I would be terrified, and, you know, them all galloping around at speed, and, yeah, you don't want the entire audience and both teams of ponies to suddenly be plunged into the water, but it's been run for a number of years, and it hasn't happened yet, so they must be fairly confident.
My gosh, that's terrifying. Okay, moving on, Bertram Allen, tell us about him.
He is just this wonder child, basically. He's just jumped onto the scene in the last, I've only known about him for about a year, and he's only 19, and he's won two of the World Cup legs, big indoor series, this season so far. And it was quite a sweet story because he was the youngest rider at 19, but he was riding this very experienced stallion belonging to Ireland, Billy Toomey, who the horse was 17. So it was the youngest rider on the oldest horse of the competition.
But you know what? It seems like you always, no matter where you are in life, start out. When you are the youngest rider, you're on the oldest horse. No matter if you're 6 years old riding the 28-year-old or a 19-year-old show jumper. Wow. And that horse looks amazing.
He does. I mean, a big winner for Billy Toomey, of course. And that's where Bertram has got all his horses from. And he's very lucky to have, you know, this kind of connection with Billy, that he's been finding him horses and giving him rides. But Bertram has just won so much. And when you see him, you know, he's such a slight guy, and he's so young, and you just think, how on earth does he go into these arenas and beat people like Marcus Enning and Ludger Beerbohm? It's just incredible.
Wow. Well, definitely one to keep watching for sure. Absolutely amazing. Now, we mentioned Blueberry. You wrote an article on horseandcountry.tv about Charlotte and Vallegro.
Yes, and talking of the World Cup series, they were in Amsterdam quite recently, and they had another phenomenal weekend. And Charlotte had been in New Zealand training and not visiting, and she'd flown back just a few days before, so she was really jet lagged, and she...
Uh-oh. That's not good.
There we go.
Victoria, are you there?
Uh-oh. Not looking good. I think we've lost Victoria.
It's come back. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, we can. Okay, good. Okay, you were saying...
I was saying that Charlotte was jet-lagged when she did the Grand Prix test and said that her riding was terrible, and yet she still won by 10%. And then they came back and did freestyle on Saturday, and again they got in the 90s. They were just short of their own world record, but still, it was amazing. So you can see an interview with Charlotte on our website, or there's also... we've added the video of her full-length test up there. So if you want to see what a 93% dressage test looks like, just head to our website.
Good Lord. I don't feel good. That was a terrible ride, blah, blah, blah. And then she wins by 10%. That's ridiculous. That is just absolutely amazing. Now, you guys have a very famous jockey over there named A.P. McCoy. And how long has he been a jump jockey?
He came on the scene probably about 94 when he came over to the UK, and he was just a young guy then, and he was originally called Tony McCoy. Everybody knew him as Tony McCoy, and then I think he kind of just was like, yeah, everyone else calls me AP, so it's kind of moved across to that now. And so he came across the UK, and he did his seasons as a conditional jockey, which is, you know, the trainee jockeys, and then he won the championship for the first time, and then has gone on to win it 19 times in a row, and this year, wow, he's probably going to win his 20th time. Like, no one has even come close. He's just the most successful jump jockey of all time.
He's amazing. He just celebrated his 40th birthday. He's got a couple kids, and he's married, and I guess he decided to hang up his boots, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, jump jockeys have a tough existence, and, you know, there's always those risks of falls and every time they get on, and I think his wife would quite like to see him retire in one piece and come home and spend some time with his family. So not many jump jockeys even go on to their 40s. So it's quite impressive that he has and that he's stayed at the top for such a long time. But I'll be sad when he retires. Between him retiring and talk of Vallegro retiring, it's a depressing week in the horse world over here.
Too many changes. We fear change. We don't like change. Terrible.
That is true.
Now, talk to us a little bit about Along for the Ride, a new series that you guys have about some people that live over here.
Yes, indeed. They're quite famous from the Avention or a TV series on YouTube, and now we've brought them over to the UK. So it's a couple called Dom and Jamie Shrum. And they are both event riders. They're hoping to make their 4-star debut at Kentucky, I think. So this series follows them at home, and it basically finds out what it's like to work alongside your partner in the horse world. So it is definitely worth a watch.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, they're really great. We met them at Rolex this past year, and again, they do Evention, which is the YouTube channel over here. Now, finally, before we let you go, love is in the air, Victoria. Love
is
in the air.
Valentine's Day this Saturday, and forget buying a card for your boyfriend or your husband. They never appreciate it. We want to see photos of you and your horse, or your horse and his best mate, or just pictures of him looking really adorable. So we've had a gallery running for a few years, and we've just opened it up again. So have a look at our pictures, and if you have one to add, please do.
Yeah, this is adorable. Horseandcountry.tv/Valentine's Gallery. You got to go look at it because it is absolutely adorable. There's kids with horses and mini horses and just adorable pictures. The one with the two horses, I can't even describe it. You guys have to go on and look. Again, horseandcountry.tv. Oh, my gosh. You can upload your own photo, too. So you can make it onto Horse and Country. Just by doing that. So go check it out. Victoria, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I will speak to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Bye.
Bye.
Just to let you guys know, you guys have, Glenn did something bad. He told me about the Mustang adoption that's coming up in like a week and a half. I mentioned I'm down to one horse. I think I need to go adopt a Mustang. I'm serious this time. What do you think, Jen?
I think there are a number of excellent eventing prospects amongst the offerings this month. Yeah.
I think so, too. I'm glad you see. And the good news is Chad is going to be out of town on a ski trip. And my mom's going to be in town.
Oh, that's right.
It's only 10 hours away. I could just hop in the truck and drive up there. And he comes home and, hey, I found a horse. It was running loose. It was like snowman. It jumped out of his pasture. It came over here, and I think we should keep it. I could pull that off.
What's that brand on his neck? I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I've never seen that before. It's interesting. I know. No, so, but Glenn had to go and run and do, he's been starving himself because he has to do some blood work, routine stuff, normal dude, old man stuff. He's on his way to the doctor right now, so he had to leave. So it's just Jennifer and I. Anything else, Jennifer, before we wrap this up?
other than a spot of horse shopping in Carson City, Nevada, I think we're good.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, which ones did you like? Because I've picked out three of them that I really, really love. So if you guys are interested, we've posted the link to the page where you can look at all the Mustangs on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, or you can go check it out at blm.gov, and you can click your way through until you get to the Saddle Horse Adoption Northern Nevada Correctional Center. I am absolutely in love with the horse named Sheldon, big, giant black horse. I love, yeah. We've been comparing, Jennifer and I have, Ranger, who's kind of Spanish looking, and he's kind of pink-ish color.
He's eye-catching. Yeah.
He is very eye-catching, and I also love Leonard. Are all these horses named after the guys from that TV show you watch? Isn't there a Leonard
kind
and a Sheldon in there?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. There's a Leonard and there's a Sheldon.
That's so I knew that before you did.
they're Mustang geeks.
But don't worry. If I get a Mustang, his name is going to be Thor. I've already decided. I need a horse named Thor.
I'm going to get Gizmo the burro for Glenn because he drives.
Yeah.
That's good. Glenn's
you know
get
what?
Burro.
I thought about throwing him in the trailer because they do have a cute little burro that's broke to drive. But they said I can't put two in the same trailer. Two different species in the same trailer. Sorry.
Well, I'm sure we have a listener up there that will just come up with you. Yeah, they'll bring you a trailer.
Oh, my gosh. Totally. He's 350 pounds and 12 inches tall. He's so cute. I think that Scooter and Gizmo could drive as a pair. Oh, my God.
They would be super cute.
Yeah. Ah! You need it. You need him. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We hope you have a wonderful day. What is today? Is it Wednesday? It's hump day. You're almost there.
Yes,
you're almost to Friday, everybody. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld, and enjoy your horses. Go out and ride.
Oh, riding. High 70 today. All right.
I'm glad they found that horse.